Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
We saw him in Arlington Friday and Saturday. He was on the call for that game, and we want to get his thoughts on Arkansas and Texas A&M, as they both have critical games this week. Greg, thanks for the time. Let's start with Arkansas. We know what happened. What did you come away with? What were your impressions coming away with as they get ready for Alabama?
Well, it looked like early on, Paul, they were about to absolutely work the Aggies. It was a start that you would like to frame in your museum if you're Arkansas. I mean, came out of the gate right down the field, a couple touchdowns early, get a big, nice, comfortable lead. Felt like you were playing great on defense, and the Aggies really in the first quarter could do nothing right whatsoever. And then, of course, the Aggies put a drive together. They were backed up, had terrible field position. A-Chain hit one out the left-hand side. Then they kind of really dominated the second quarter because Arkansas went down and they had that fumble that was returned to the house, obviously, after K.J. Jefferson tried to reach out from about the 2.5-yard line, which was not a great decision for him. That kind of led to Arkansas going into a bit of a slump for about two quarters. And then they tried to revitalize their chances there at the end of the fourth quarter, about 5 minutes left or so, and it just was too little too late. But either way, it was a game of momentum, and it really kind of summed up September, probably better than any game so far, is that games are about, in September, it's about minimizing the mistakes. How many games are just flat-out gift-wrapped and given to the opposition? We've seen it happen time and time again. And that was certainly the case on Saturday when Arkansas made several mistakes that ultimately led to the Aggies pulling off the victory.
So let's move to Saturday, first in Fayetteville, then we'll get to Starkville. What is this matchup? What do you see in this matchup in terms of Alabama has struggled on the road? We know that. We talked about it versus Arkansas.
Well, it's a difficult matchup. I mean, anytime you go on the road, I think it'd been harder had Arkansas been victorious last week, and they would been ranked in the top 10, that environment probably would have rivaled the environment that I was fortunate enough to play in there in 2010, which is one of the best environments I ever played in. When Arkansas is feeling it, that's a special place. And I think it probably took the wind out of their sails a little bit, the performance last week, but Alabama's still coming to town, and you know that they'll be ready to roll on Saturday. Ultimately, they got to get K.J. Jefferson playing at his best. When he's playing at his best and he's accurate and he's decisive. And last year, Paul, he played really well in this ball game against Alabama. Now it was in November. Now it's obviously in early October. This is a massive opportunity for him. And what I think is a fairly revamped wide receiver core. If they can challenge Alabama down the field, like Texas was able to do early in that football game, then they might be able to string together some success. I also think they're going to have to really force Alabama to use their depth along the front defensively. Alabama has good frontline starters, but the depth is a little bit of a question mark at this point. And Arkansas is the type of team that can deliver enough body blows that could force you into rotating in some players that you might not be as comfortable with at this point. So I think Arkansas matches up okay, but I also think Arkansas has been very susceptible to teams that are capable of throwing the football. We all know what Bryce Young is capable of as a quarterback as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if this game was a little bit more higher scoring, but also at the same time, you know, I think until Arkansas totally shores up their back end, I have some question marks as to whether or not they can really pull off the upset.
A&M heading to Starkville, they were losers in this game last year in College Station. They've been hanging by a thread for a couple of weeks now, ever since losing to App. They got by Miami, whatever that means, and we know what happened Saturday night. give us the key matchups in this game in Starkville.
Well, I think one of the big matchups is Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator for Mississippi State, going against Max Johnson, who at both LSU and at Texas A&M, He's not a guy that has a great feel for when pressure's coming at him. If you overload the protection or if they blitz, and Zach Arnett's going to blitz. That's what he does. That is the all points bulletin. If you're going to start your breakdown for Mississippi State's defense, you know they're going to come after you. And that's something that Max Johnson has not done a great job of handling early in his career. I also think, too, Devon Achane was phenomenal last week. And it's going to be really important now that Anaiah Smith is lost for the season. It's going to be really important, Paul, for them to continue to find ways to get Devon Achane out in space. And they have an athletic advantage over Mississippi State. They're a more athletic team. But Mississippi State is the more physical team. If they want to make it into a street fight, that is an advantage to Mississippi State. So it'll be really interesting, I think, to see whether or not this rushing attack that was pretty nice last week for the Texas A&M, if that can continue on against a quality defense led by coordinator Zach Arnett. And then as far as the other side of the ball is concerned, we know that Will Rogers had one of his best games last year against Texas A&M, and we know that the pass rush for A&M is pretty good, but there are some really young pieces on the edge of that defense. This will be a big opportunity for some of those freshmen. For the top six defensive ends on this roster are true freshmen from that much, you know, ballyhooed recruiting class. This is their opportunity to really come out, because if you have a great pass rush that you can generate with your front four defensively against an offensive line that is a little bit up and down, if you can create a pass rush and create an edge and really overload those tackles, then you can find some success. But that won't be the easiest thing in the world, knowing that those tackles are third and fourth year players, not third and fourth year starters, didn't even hardly play in some cases, but our veteran players in college football going against true freshmen, and in some cases, one 17-year-old, number 18 for Texas A&M, I'm banking on his name, but he's 17 years old, should be in high school right now. So they're young up front, but they're talented, and this could be a coming out party for them.
Auburn hosting LSU, it seems like you've been around LSU this fall more than Brian Kelly, but that's only in theory. I know you missed one or two of their games, and you'll make up for it this weekend. Let's start with Auburn, because you live in Alabama, you hear Auburn fans, and I know winning is what it's all about, but what kind of shape are they in mentally, physically, as they come into another critical game?
Well, I've said this kind of all week, Paul, and I think Auburn can win games in this league. It's just going to have to be a very particular way. If it becomes a shootout, for instance, if the team that they're playing against gets to, say, 24 points, it's going to be tough for Auburn to win those games. If the team that they're playing against doesn't turn the football over at all, it's going to be difficult for Auburn to win football games. So Auburn can win in this league. They can. They just have to make the game hideous. And that's okay. We've seen them do that with success in the past. The Iron Bowl last year is a great example of that, just a hideous football game. And Auburn had a chance to win. Didn't win, but had a chance to. So I think they're going to have to really muddy it up for teams in the next 2 months of the season if they're going to be able to pull off some upsets, because they'll likely be an underdog in just about every SEC game, or at least it feels that way at this point. So big thing, you got to get Robbie Ashford comfortable. He does not look comfortable in the pocket right now. Way too quick to escape the pocket. And when he escapes the pocket, escaping horizontally in this league is not a recipe for success. He has to escape vertically. I think they have good skill, but it's not necessarily going to matter if the offensive line doesn't play better either. And they've now lost their second center, so they're on their third string center, which is less than ideal going into the gauntlet that is the SEC. So offensively, they are challenged and they are hamstrung at this point, unless Robbie Ashford takes some significant steps forward, but he can. I think he's a lot like Adrian Martinez, Paul, early in his career at Nebraska. But the difference between Robbie Ashford and Adrian Martinez is that Adrian Martinez was not operating on a team at that point that really had any expectations whatsoever. It feels like the sky is falling around Auburn. I don't think that's entirely fair, but that's the narrative right now kind of surrounding the program. So I think Robbie Ashford, if he can be more decisive and be more deliberate with his rushing, then they have a chance to, I think, move the football a little bit. But he's going to have to be quite a bit better than he was on Saturday.
Final game I want to ask you about is in Oxford. Kentucky heads to the Grove. Well, actually, they're going to the stadium. I'm going to the Grove. What's the key to this game?
I think what's been really fun to watch for Ole Miss, as much as anything else, is Ole Miss has been really interesting with some of the run schemes and their ability to create stress on opposing defenses with how they run the football. I expect that to continue. The good news is it's good against good. Kentucky's pretty good when going against the run for the most part. That's what they pride themselves in. They pride themselves on being very physical. So that is a great matchup. Ole Miss's rushing attack going against a defense that is really, really stout against the run and has been for the last several years. And then conversely, the other side, we're going to finally find out what Ole Miss's defense is all about. They have not really been challenged at this point. So we've been in a bit of a holding pattern, a bit of a wait and see. Now they're going to be going up against a really solid nucleus of skill. The offensive line for Kentucky is not what it's been. They are average, and normally that group is very, very good. Right now, they are very much a work in progress. However, on the outside, you have two excellent wide receivers for Kentucky. Robinson and Brown are both excellent. And you welcome back Chris Rodriguez this week, who's finished serving his four-game suspension. He'll be back in the mix to hopefully inject a little life into that rushing attack, centered around a really talented quarterback in Will Levis as well. So I think if this game were being played in Lexington, I would definitely lean in favor of the Wildcats. But the fact that it's leaning, the fact that it's going to be played in Oxford, Mississippi, makes it, I think, a much, much, much more interesting game. So I think it's going to be a coin toss, Paul, and I'm jealous that you're going to be there because I think it's going to be an incredible scene.
Well, thank you. I'm not jealous where you're going to be because I've already been there. Greg, great to see you again. We saw you the other day, Greg McElroy, part of the call this weekend for the LSU-Auburn game. And we are coming right back. More of your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back. Good conversation there with GMAC. We were talking to Jim, and we hit the top of the hour, so that what that means in the parlance of broadcasting, that means you just get cut off. It's not like we can maneuver. It is out of our control. So Jim is back with us.
Well, I mean, I wanted to make a few more points about Bogey's call. You know, I had to run to the calendar because, Paul, I thought, good night, this is back to the future. The good old days. I felt like we were in the good old days again. You know.
Everybody likes the good old days, and then, Jim, there are those who weren't around for the good old days.
Look, I'm telling you, I got to straighten you out, and I know you need straightening out. Those were the good days. You know it. I know it. And ESPN knows it. That's why they got you, because we had some good old days back then, man.
So if I could just ask you this, Jim, off the record, you and me, if we said goodbye to ESPN and went back to those good old days, could you sketch the show out for us? What would it look like?
It would be phenomenal, Paul. And that's not even close. I mean, there's no
much better than it is now.
Not
is that what you're saying? So what would what wouldn't we do?
No, no more moron guests. No more boring stuff.
Okay.
No more,
is there any guests in particular that you would eliminate?
You won't even let me listen. I mean, answer, because you're afraid that it'll get you in trouble. But no more Feinbaum told what to do. Feinbaum is free. He's independent again. He can cut somebody off, do whatever he wants to do. He's his own man. He's freed up. He's unshackled by the chains. What else you want me to tell you?
Well, you're just saying, like, eliminate one or two guests. Is that all?
No. I just told you the whole point, the whole shebang, man. Get rid of all that you got now and go back to what we had 8 years ago.
Well, right. No, it's longer than that. Yeah, we've been gone since.
Well, 8 years. How long have you been there? You've been there 8 years.
I've been here 9 years now.
Okay, then go back to 9 years pre-ESPN, Paul.
None of these. ESPN guests, is that what you're saying?
None of any of that, Paul. How plain do you want me to make it?
Well, Jim, you know, I need to hear. I need straight talk here because.
Well, yeah. You called me the straight shooter. Yeah. You're the one that named me that.
Yeah, I want to make sure that you and you have someplace I can go, Jim. I mean,
Go back to Birmingham.
It's a cruel world out there. I mean, I'm not sure if I left here tomorrow, I could find a job.
No, you could find a job doing this wherever you want to do it.
Okay. So we say goodbye to ESPN. We cut out all these ESPN-ized guests, and we just go back to you and me and Bogey
and Paul, and new material and new stuff.
New material,
and I promise
okay.
And the new recruits will be outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding.
I wonder if anybody's ever tried this before.
Paul, let me just clue you in on something.
Seems like a risk to me.
People like me breed people like me.
Okay.
That's what you need, Paul. That's what you need, more people like me. I can't make it any more simple.
So, Jim, one last question. I realize I'm leaning on you here, and I'm not paying you for this great advice.
I'm happy to do it. It's my duty.
So we need a foundation. We got you. We got me.
Well, I can name a bunch you have got, and I can name a couple you don't have that would be on.
Okay,
on board.
So who else do we need?
Who else do you need? What? What do you mean?
Jim, bring
Alyssa Lyon. You can bring Alyssa Lyon. She's great.
Well, Alyssa's got a pretty good gig here. I don't think she'd be eager just to say goodbye.
You could bring her over from what she's doing now over there. You know, okay. You could make that deal, cut that deal.
And you think Alyssa would leave?
He's a paralegal to take care of it. Augie can take care of it.
I got bad news for you, for Augie. He's not coming with us. I mean, we'll leave the paralegal to the next person.
But he'll be on the show. You know that.
Yeah. Okay, so so far it's you, me, and maybe Alyssa Lang.
Yeah. Well, Paul,
what about Ryan McGee?
You mean to cut to the chase, Paul? You mean to cut to the chase?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it'll be better than it is now. Okay. I promise you that.
Okay.
Got enough?
So, I mean, some of the ESPN people I'd like to bring along with us. So, you know, like McGee.
Well, name one I can tell you for the other day.
Ryan McGee. What's wrong with Ryan?
That's funny, Paul. You knew what I think about that moron. And don't bring Marty either. He's just as goofy as not quite as goofy. Nobody's as goofy as Magoo. Nobody's that goofy.
Okay, no McGee, no Magoo.
Yeah.
No Marty. Let's see.
Laura in every now and then.
I'm trying to think
you
who else Laura. Would be good. Yeah, we need some. I'm just thinking of.
You know, I'm gonna say this, but you hate hearing it.
Okay.
You've got to get back the two guys that helped make this show, Sheridan and Brando. You've got to do that.
Okay. Well, we are currently negotiating with Sheridan. I don't know. Sheridan would be an absolute must. I agree with you.
Okay.
So
I'm helping a little bit.
We get Danny Sheridan back. So we got you,
absolutely.
Me, Sheridan. Okay, we got the nucleus of a hit.
Yeah, that's exactly what you got, Paul. Okay. You had a hit, now get back with it.
You had a hit, and now it's, okay. Well, I'll talk to the people that matter. I think I know who they are. And
And hey, and I'll take all of this under advisement. I'll be back with you like my judge told me back 10 years ago on a traffic ticket.
Okay.
I didn't like the result.
Okay, well, good deal. Well, thanks for the advice, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That's sound advice, by the way. Just give up what you have. Keith, I don't remember him mentioning your name, so nice knowing you, buddy. Tom is in Arizona. Hello, Tom.
Hi, boy, that's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, impossible.
First of all, how are you doing today?
We're doing great, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm calling from Phoenix, and probably most of your listeners don't realize that Phoenix is north of the Mason-Dixon line, so a little geography quiz.
I didn't realize that.
The Mason-Dixon line actually runs all the way across Oklahoma and makes a hard left at the Panhandle and goes down to El Paso, so that we are actually here in Phoenix north of the Mason-Dixon line.
That is amazing. I love Phoenix. I didn't realize that either. I thought it just seemed like it was way down there.
Well, most of your listeners probably don't know where Phoenix is, but we're out here.
Well, I was out there about 2 years ago and loved it.
You know, it's a little warm today.
That's okay.
On your journalism bent, I thoroughly enjoyed the conversations you had with the budding journalists from the different schools around the SEC. And perhaps next year you might have a little contest, and maybe your producer can write these words down. I would like to see them in a contest of who could use these following words the least in their discussions with you.
Okay.
The first word is a terrible word. The next one is so. Yeah.
So. Hey, I'm curious about so. A friend of mine who's a writer, I have to ask you this question. When did so become part of I was listening to NPR the other day, and this guest, every question, the answer started with so. I must have missed that.
Well, you're not the only one, pal.
Yeah. I understand. I understand like the genesis of so. I don't understand the genesis of so.
Okay, and next word is like.
Like.
Something is not like something.
Right.
That's crazy.
Okay.
Number four is look. That's
look.
Almost as bad as like.
Okay.
And the next one is you know.
Yeah.
If you can have your budding journalist talk to you and not use any of those five words or the minimum, I think you should have a prize and let your producer come up with a prize for the young guy. I enjoy listening to
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good. I want to say this. I have a great passion for journalism and young journalists. In fact, I was talking to a prominent communication school dean today about this subject. And the idea of being a student and a young journalist is to learn, not to be sent to the guillotines like this last caller did for making a common mistake that professionals make. And of all the things that you said, like, look, you know, so, I hear that from people that are making huge sums of money every single day on every network, from this one to ESPN to CNN to Fox to NPR. So I resent the attack on young journalists who are just trying to learn and get valuable experience. But I guess maybe when you live in Phoenix, the heat gets to you after a while and you lose all sense of reality. We will take a short break. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we are back, and Scotty is up next. Hey, Scotty.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
First of all, what's your timeline on Brian Harsin's job at Auburn?
Well, I think it's he probably has a little time left when you look at the schedule. A loss here this week, I think, would really complicate things. And then he had, what, Georgia the following weekend, and then Ole Miss. To me, that's the stretch where you really have to wonder. Let's say he loses this week, next week, and Ole Miss. That's three straight losses. That's four overall. That means the season is essentially dead, because you still have Arkansas State, A&M, and Alabama, which looks like probably four more losses. I could possibly see a change. There was some speculation over the weekend that had he lost to Missouri, he could have been let go, but he survived that. And I don't think anybody knows certain. I think it had he lost to Missouri and then lost to LSU, I think that could have been it. I mean, right now he's not winning any friends. Even the win did not help him very much at all. Frankly, I don't think it helped him at all.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering, because my wife's an Auburn fan and I'm a Bama fan, and I'm trying to get some insights for her.
Yeah.
But
tell her to get ready for a new coach.
Yeah, that's what she's been praying, and she's wanting a new coach. And I told her if he loses like three more games, he'd be gone.
Yeah, I think that's I think that is pretty good intel. Charlie is in Virginia. Charlie, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what makes a great teacher great.
I do remember that call. Yeah, I sure do. That was a great conversation.
Well, what makes a great coach great? What are the characteristics that make a coach successful and others fail?
Well, Charlie, I think it might be a finer line than a teacher. Not that I've ever done either one.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that coaching – you can be a really good coach and maybe not be successful if you choose poorly. What I mean by that is you have to be circumspect with the job. I'll never forget. I'll give you two examples. One a few years in the past and one modern. Bob Stoops had a bunch of offers when he was Steve Spurrier's defensive coordinator, and he waited.
Yeah.
He came from a coaching family, and he knew the wrong job could derail his career. He finally got the right job, which was the University of Oklahoma, where he won a national championship and became one of the best coaches of his era. And Kirby Smart's the other one. He waited. He watched. He was about to go to South Carolina, which may not have been the right choice. And then he got the dream job in Georgia. So I think it really depends. And you can overcome a mistake. I mean, look at Nick Saban. He made a mistake going to the Miami Dolphins, but he overcame it by choosing correctly.
Well, I've often wondered what makes Nick Saban so great, and what are the characteristics?
Well, I think the thing with Nick Saban is he's got a concept, and you've heard it a million times. He's a process-oriented coach, which means he has an infrastructure. And there are a lot of different cogs that make the machine work. And then he's also a detail-oriented coach. He leaves nothing to chance.
Yeah.
He's not a free wheeler. He's not someone that there are creative people, and then there are the plotters and the planners, and you understand that from where you come from. And everything is mapped out. Everything is organized. He leaves nothing to chance. And with success, you can bring more quality people in. And I think the greatest testament to Saban is the fact that he's had to replace so many really good coaches. And that's often where great coaches break down is when things go wrong, they'll lose their key people, and it makes it more difficult to succeed.
I think one of the most important characteristics is their ability to work with young people, and that changes with time. What will appeal to certain young people, of young people in general today, is crucial, I think, to their success.
Well, Charlie, I think the adaptability and, people always talk about Paul Bryant. And I asked a lot of former Bryant assistants and players, would Coach Bryant have been able to succeed today? And they all say yes. And the reason why is that he changed with the times. He coached in the 50s, the 60s. He really lost at Texas A&M primarily because of the Vietnam War. He was at a military school. Then he goes to Alabama and is very slow to integrate, but he then did, which was the most critical moment of his career, I think, in salvaging what looked like a wobbly career, and then he just built upon that. And he also, I asked Pat Dye one time, what made Coach Bryant so great? I said, was it his ability to communicate with players? He said, no. He said, Coach Bryant, he had relationships with players. And Dye spent 9 years with him. He said, basically what he did was he coached the assistant coaches. We all lived in fear of him. If one guy got to the office at 5:30, I tried to get there at 5:15 and then or 5. I mean, everybody, and I know that's very militaristic, but it also works in a sport like football.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, and go Big Orange.
Thank you. Always enjoy the conversation, Charlie. You be well. I-Man is up next.
Well, live from the capital city. You know, Paul, thank you for taking my call. I was just listening to that moron talking. And Jim, of course, from Tuscaloosa, the one and only moron that we normally talk about. And I remember specifically when you were signing with ESPN and had gotten that deal, you were telling me, the thing is, we get more guests that we've never had access to. And because everybody's kind of contracted out and there's a lot of people that you couldn't get that you would have. And you did have guests on your show prior to that. You had Dr. Ruth on there. And I mean, you had some great guests, but you didn't quite have the ESPN guys, or maybe you did have Brando and Sheridan. That was probably two of your bigger guests. But you was really excited about having guests. And Jim keeps talking about the good old days. Hell, he quit every 2 or 3 weeks then, didn't he?
Well, there are a lot of reasons we came here. Number one, it was the opportunity to amplify the message, to go from a good show. It was heard nationally, but to also put it on a television platform that people could see all over the country. And yeah, it's not. I am well aware of how different the show is. You have to adapt.
And the truth,
but to me, I think we've survived.
And the truth be known, ESPN and Sports Illustrated and all these people were applauding you. They were using your show. They were using the callers' clips. I mean, this was a big thing happening across the country that guys like ESPN really hadn't even tuned into. And when they heard our show with the Phyllises and different people like that, and Shane, they were just stunned.
Well,
and when they hired you, they didn't say, they didn't want you to change a thing.
No,
they wanted you to be you.
They were able, one thing that they didn't, in full disclosure, the people at ESPN had no idea what they were getting. I mean, they're a bunch of suits up in Connecticut, and they saw the documentary and the 30 for 30, and they heard clips, but they didn't really understand it. And how do I know that? Because I sat in on meetings with them as we were planning the show. But they adapted. And one thing I think that is really interesting is, I think the first year we were here, for the Iron Bowl, I know you remember this. They ended up doing, we ended up doing a simulcast on this network of the game, and it wasn't to get my commentary or McElroy's or Marcus Spears.
It was to get the callers.
It was to get the callers. Now, what are they doing now on Monday Night Football? They're getting the Mannings A little different, but it's the same concept. I mean, this show has really created a lot of opportunities for the network.
You know, Jim acts like that he worked on some kind of chain gang and had to break big rocks into little rocks. Jim quit every 2 or 3 weeks. He's quit multiple times since he's been here. And he keeps talking about the good old days. The, you know what the biggest difference that I see in your show outside of the guests? We don't get to cuss as much as we used to. And that's not a bad thing. But sometimes a good cuss word,
you know what your name should be. You wimp. You
I know what yours is. You. I know what yours is. You. I know what yours is.
I know you
crazy old man.
I
know what yours is.
Yeah, we broke that up because curse words were flying like fireworks on New Year's Eve. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Crash is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Crash.
Hey, Paul. Paul, I guess it ties right into what I mean. I just want to say I apologize for my language last time I called in. I got a little too excited. Just wanted to talk about the Gamecocks again right quick, and I just want to talk about DeCarrion Joyner, and I just think they should have used him more. I think it was pretty obvious that he was frustrated that he wasn't getting on the field, and I just think it's pernicious to us to not use him because it just in a subtle way, it's that man's probably the best all-around athlete on the team, and I just think they got some weapons. Is they're not executing, Paul? And I just don't understand it. I after you a fan for so long, and I'm sure a lot of Gamecock fans will be mad at me. But when you've been a fan as long as I have, and it's just more stress every time you watch them play. Either the offense is on key and the defense is not, or it's the other way around. And I just wish that we could play to the caliber of the athletes that we have. And that's what I was trying to say last time when I called, is you have these schools from the MAC and the Sun Belt, and those, they play as a team. I just wish that we could. And
well, thank you very much, Crash, for the call. You be well. Doug is in Nashville. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Paul. I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time fan.
Thank you.
What I'm wanting to ask you is, what did you think about the Middle Tennessee-Miami game?
Well, I was impressed with what Middle did and just horrified by what I saw from Miami. I saw the last 10 minutes of the game, so I didn't see anything before that.
Well, do you know what Middle Tennessee's all-time football record is against Miami?
I do not.
3-0.
When was the previous meeting after Saturday, before Saturday?
1930 and 1931.
I had a feeling it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. But that was still a big game for Middle.
Oh, no, it was. I've had some friends who have coached there. It's a really good football team and a tradition, and I was pleased to see it. Listen, thank you very, very much for the call. Let's see. We have a really interesting guest in the final hour. We don't have a lot of entertainers on, but a young lady wrote a song about Tennessee football that's now moving up the country charts, and we are going – I think you're going to kick out of it. She went to Georgia, and it's about meeting a Tennessee fan, and the name of the song is Tennessee Orange. We're an hour away from that conversation. Let's go to Nick next.
I've had some friends who have coached there. It's a really good football team. And a tradition.
Nick, are you alive?
Yeah, I'm alive.
Okay. Glad to hear that.
Hey. Who's this, Paul?
No, this is Sean Hannity. I mean, who do you think this is?
Oh, I think it's Paul, but I'm sitting here watching the show, and you're talking to another guest, and now you're talking to me.
Nick, how long have you been watching the show? Don't you realize that there's a delay, or have you just not figured that out yet?
No, I figured it out, Paul, but I've been sitting here watching your show for the last minute, and you're talking to guests, and then you answer the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on up there.
Well, I'll tell you what, the next time, Nick, we'll send a FedEx truck to your house to let you know you're the next caller.
Paul, you're all right, man. You're all right. Hey, I was wanting to talk to you about Jim's call.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking to Jim about how to make the show better and stuff. And I was just thinking about that, mulling it through my brain.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.